The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is Talkin' Cowboys. Streaming live from the Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters at the Star in Frisco.
Handoff, Elliott plowing to the goal line. Barry, sacked by Lord. Prescott keeps it, and he bangs it in for the touchdown.
And now, your hosts, Isaiah Standback, Patrick Walker, Rob Phillips, and Kyle Yeomans.
It is a wall-to-wall Wednesday edition here at Talking Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company in the SWBC studios at the Star in Frisco. Today we preview the Cowboys defense versus that New York Giants offense. How can the Cowboys get to 2-1 on the NFL season? As always, Chris Beam, Rob Phillips, Isaiah Standback, Patrick Walker. I'm Kyle Yeomans. Gentlemen, how are we doing?
Doing fantastic, my friend.
Well,
have you regrouped from yesterday?
Maybe a little.
Lollipop, lollipop.
I knew Isaiah was going to bring it up at some point.
I didn't bring it up.
No,
how you going to throw my name?
Put it on Twitter.
Oh, abso-freaking-lutely.
Oh, had to. Yeah.
Abso-freaking-lutely.
Went straight to the screen record.
Because we're brothers.
And threw it right back up there.
And we're singing. Yeah.
And then when I thought it was only Twitter.
Give me a high five.
I turned around and I went on Facebook.
Robbie,
it was tagged on Facebook.
It was just too good to let it just go away.
My grandparents watched that.
Oh, yeah.
I think I saw it on MySpace,
Rob,
too.
You probably was.
If it had been me, it would have been on Black Planet, right? You know, Kyle would have put it on Black Planet. He would have put it on MySpace.
College everything. Club.
World Star.
Everything. Oh, it definitely would have been World Star.
If you haven't checked World it out, Star. The end of the show, just go to Isaiah's Twitter page. He clipped it off. I just want to say, my 72-year-old sainted mother watches every day. She watched it and she thought it was the funniest damn thing she's seen in a while.
It's so good. Yes. It's so
be proud of yourself, Kyle. You made my mom laugh.
So good.
We're getting shirts made.
So good.
Lollipop shirt.
Lollipop. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Greg Zuerlein lollipop.
I know.
Greg Zuerlein and
it's
going to
be like Greg Holden. So
Isaiah's dirty mind.
Oh, it was classic.
Golly. Thing snowballed so quickly, and I could see it just getting a little bit further out of reach for me.
Lucky Beamer wasn't on that camera right there the whole time. Everybody would have saw like this the meltdown.
Beamer said, "What?" That's what really set it off.
I'm glad it was on the one shot because it saw my meltdown.
Oh yeah,
because whenever I said Greg Zuerlein instead of Brett Maher. I looked around and I was like, oh God.
Dig it.
I was like, did I? Oh no. And then I just like put my head down.
That was
all natural reaction because I knew it was done.
Picked it up in like the first like 3 seconds if you started to talk about the lollipop. I looked at
Robbie. See, Isaiah picked it up.
So good.
You said it. You're
trying to set up. He made two long field goals.
Uh-huh. I know.
So yeah. Well, we know what you wanted to say there, Kyle.
Was there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay.
It's not going to go on your reel. That's okay.
Exactly. It might go on my reel.
Maybe it should.
Maybe I should put it on the website. It shows personality, right?
Love it.
All right. So let's talk about the Cowboys a little bit here. Cowboys back on the practice field today. They had an off day yesterday, and then they get back into normal work going into the Monday Night Football matchup with the New York Giants. A little news yesterday, though. Wasn't an off day for everybody, but Rob Phillips, news and notes.
Well, you know how we spent a lot of the first segment yesterday talking about what does this wide receiver depth chart look like when Michael Gallup comes back, when inevitably Jalen Tolbert becomes part of the mix on game day? Well, there's one domino. Dennis Houston waived, and we can get into why. I mean, I think some fans were surprised by it, but we talked about how once guys get healthy, maybe Gallup's back this week. James Washington here maybe in a couple weeks when he's eligible to come off IR. What happens with the young wide receivers? So there's only so many spots to go around. Maybe MG's back this week. And it also creates roster flexibility for week three. So a couple practice squad elevations we'll probably see. Obviously, Will Greer. They need an eighth offensive lineman as they did last week so they can get 48 on the game day roster. That's the NFL rules. And so you might need a third spot. Because think about Dalton Schultz, and I'm just throwing this out there. Think about Dalton Schultz' knee sprain and the fact that maybe they need to add a tight end. Maybe Sean McCune, let's just say, off the practice squad. That would take That's three guys potentially. I didn't even mention Jason Peters, but that's three guys potentially for two spots right now. So roster manipulation, roster tinkering, but a little surprising just because, I mean, we talked about it yesterday. Dennis Houston's a guy that QB1 trusts and has made, you know, an impression since training camp started.
Yeah, it was interesting whenever it came down because that's the initial reaction is everybody's like, wait, I thought he was impressive. I thought Dak loved him. I thought this, that, and the other. But ultimately, it comes down to who's going to pass through waivers more easily. Doesn't mean it's a lock no matter what.
Ask Ridgeway.
Exactly. Yeah, John Ridgeway. They would have loved to have him back on the practice squad. It's never a lock, but who is more likely to get through it? If you're going to throw a third-round pick out on waivers, that's not happening.
Yeah, not at all.
Not going to happen. Jalen Tolbert will never go on waivers at any point, especially as a rookie and a third-round pick, no matter if he was active or not for the first two games.
Correct.
Dennis Houston has an opportunity to... especially with the NFL being loaded at wide receiver quite a bit throughout the league, he has a really good shot of coming back and being on the practice squad. So ultimately, that's what they did here, right?
Right. I mean, that's what they're hoping for.
Just playing the game of risk.
Yeah, that's what they're hoping for. And point of clarity for the fans that were saying, okay, well, this move is to bring up Gallup. Well, Gallup is already being carried on the active 53. So no roster seat is needed for Gallup because he already has a roster seat. So point of clarity there. But to Rob's point, it does potentially, you know, put some eyes on Gallup as far as a possible return for Monday night. So that's one way to look at it. Another way to look at it, and I love that Rob put this out there on Twitter and reiterated it here this morning, Sean McEwen might be an option for elevation depending upon what happens with Dalton Schultz. They don't know just yet what's going to happen with Schultz. That'll be a later in the week decision, might even be a game time decision. We'll see if he charters with the team on Sunday. That'll be kind of an indicator there. But, of course, there's the you know, the gorilla in the room, Jason Peters. Right. Jason Peters might be an option for filling that roster spot. We'll see how that goes because head coach Mike McCarthy earlier this week put him in the same breath as Michael Gallup in that both of those players are going to be given a full workload in team drills this week. If Jason Peters looks like he's ready to go, he could be available on Monday. Now, Kyle, you and I had this discussion on yesterday. Jerry Jones said on 105.3 FM The Fan that he doesn't necessarily see that Peters would be available for Monday night against the Giants, but there are levels to this. So he could be on the active roster as insurance, but not necessarily put out there just yet unless something is not going well at left guard, for example, with Matt Farniago, whatever the case may be. So tons of roster flexibility created here. The Cowboys, I can almost promise you, they are hoping against hope to not have a John Ridgeway situation. They want Houston back on the practice squad. He is, in fact, Dak's guy. So we'll see because the waiver claims they'll be submitted here in a few hours. And if he clears, I expect he'd be back in the building this afternoon.
What are your thoughts?
You guys hit it all. I think that's their game plan. I'm not sure if that's going to be effective. but I think, you know, there's been so much talk about a player. Even though you haven't seen a whole lot of film in regards to him, there are a lot of receivers out there, but a lot of those veteran receivers that are sure things are coming off of injuries for the most part.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of younger guys that are unproven. Well, if there's a younger guy that was undrafted, unproven, and all of a sudden you hear word coming out of Dallas that he's not only is he a guy that's trusted, but he's a guy that started his first two games after being undrafted, there's probably something to that guy, and you might want to snatch him up. So the chances of him clearing waivers, I hear it because he's undrafted, right? But the reality is Jalen Tolbert was drafted and didn't play the first two games. This kid was undrafted and played the first two, not only to play, but started. So if I'm another team out there, at least my antennas are up as to what is it with this guy.
That's absolutely fair. And I'm glad you brought up Jalen Tolbert. Obviously, inactive the first two games. One of the reasons was Dennis Houston. With Dennis Houston not in the mix at the moment, best case, he's on the practice squad later this afternoon. Now there's a clear lane for, you know, Jalen Tolbert to possibly be active on Monday Night Football.
Let me ask this question then. I mean, the Cowboys, from a wide receiver standpoint, if James Washington and Michael Gallup are both available, just in this hypothetical, would Dennis Houston be active? Probably not, right?
No.
I don't think he's active at all. Think about it from another NFL standpoint. If you pluck him off of the practice squad or pluck him off of waivers, he's got to be on your active roster for 3 weeks. So that's what's going to give this an opportunity for him to work his way back. Because I hear you out in terms of young receivers. Oh, there might be something to Dennis Houston. That could always happen. You could have the New York Giants waiting and saying, wow, we don't really have a whole lot at wide receiver, which we're going to talk about a little later in the show. But we're going to add this guy who knows the Cowboys side of things, too. It could be just as
Jalen
easy as that.
Smith
could
tactic.
Be. But that's something to look out for. But they would have to keep him on the active roster for 3 weeks, right?
Yeah. Well, same thing with Ridgeway in Washington now.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, there's teams like the Bears that claimed five guys after final cuts because they just need talent.
They need young guys, bodies,
come in, compete. So Dennis Houston played 60 snaps in the first two games. Caught two passes for 16 yards. Obviously, from a production standpoint, maybe it wasn't up to what they were hoping for. Mike McCarthy said something after game one, and he didn't specifically talk about specific receivers, but he did say about bump and run coverage. If you can't win there, it's the NFL may not be for you. I don't know if he's specifically talking about Dennis Houston, but they wanted to see more against that type of coverage and coverage style. And he's a young guy who's still kind of trying to find his way here. So that's why they made that decision.
And I think what's also worked against Dennis Houston in this conversation, or in the front office's conversation about Dennis Houston prior to waiving him, is when will Dak be back, right? Because this is Dak's guy. You saw Dak target him five times in week one. It's not Cooper Rush's guy. Noah Brown is Cooper Rush's guy. You saw Cooper Rush target Dennis Houston one time.
Yeah.
It yielded zero catches, 0 yards. So that could be a part of the logistics as well, saying, okay, well, we believe in Dennis Houston. We feel like he can get it done, more specifically with QB1. We're willing to risk him the waivers, especially being that QB1 isn't ready to come back just yet. Let's hopefully get him on the practice squad. By the time QB1 comes back, then we'll, kind of look into that situation again. So Cowboys kind of playing it, I think, as best they can. It is a bit of a roll of the dice because, like Isaiah said, you put out a guy on waivers hoping that that's the one that's most likely to clear, but at the end of the day, you just never know.
I hate it for Dennis Houston because he works all the way through camp, he does everything right, and he gets to that point, but I think he knows that the NFL is the NFL. It's a business.
He's learning it now.
He's learning it. There's
so many. He has so many positive stories,
no doubt,
about him, though. Aside from his ability, aside from the fact that he started the first two games as an undrafted guy on the Dallas Cowboys, at that,
yeah.
The story that was out about him was his willingness to come in and learn.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's the story that's out there. So if you're an organization that says, okay, maybe he needs a little bit of time. Yeah, but Dak and everybody else around there said he came in and learned the system super fast, yep, and became a trusted great guy player, and studied his butt off. You'll take a risk on that guy, or quote-unquote risk, if you're another organization.
Yeah, that's possible. Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
It'll go one of two ways, because you have the Malik Davises of the world, wherein I was kind of stunned that Malik Davis cleared waivers after final cuts and was able to land back here in Dallas. And then you see John Ridgway, and you're like, oh, Ridgway will clear. Nope. So you really, there's no rhyme or reason to it for the most part. We'll see. I mean, hopefully he lands back in here because I'm a big fan of his upside.
And when would we know that, Rob? When does that come down?
3 o'clock-ish.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, 3 o'clock today. So by tomorrow on this show, we'll have an update for you on whether or not Dennis Houston is on the practice squad or not. But there is another spot opened up now because of this move. I want to put you guys in the GM shoes. You are now the hypothetical GM of the Dallas Cowboys.
You know my
does
answer.
It come with that paycheck?
I know Isaiah's answer.
I know. I'm going to let you go first,
just to get it out of the way. But there's guys on the practice squad that you need to bring up. Is it a tight end to combat Dalton Schultz and his potential health? Is it a wily veteran on the offensive line that's been waiting and ramping up and needs some snaps with the first team in order to get ready? Pretty strong hint.
I feel like you're leading.
There's a lot of things going on, but Isaiah, who would you bring up from the practice squad, and why would you do it now?
Peters.
Oh.
Peters.
Shocked.
I don't want Peters.
Okay, so you make fun of me for lollipop, and you get this?
I'm going at it. I want to see if you're going to bite on it.
Nah,
all right, so go with Peters. Okay, so
pause.
I want him as a...
Oh, my God.
I said Peters.
Let's see if he's going to bite on it.
I said Peters. All right, so I want to see Peters at the guard.
Oh, he's done. Kyle's done.
I knew this was going to get him.
I'm trying to get back at Isaiah.
So I knew I want him at the guard position. Yeah, I've said it all week. I've said it since last week. I think this is the game that he shows up. I think last week he was probably doing some conditioning and getting his legs underneath them and make sure that his wind was right. And now I'm pretty sure they'll see if he can actually hold it down and find any continuity and make sure that his eyes are disciplined, that his footwork's right, his hand placement's good, and that he can understand the pass sets and the running, all the schemes. And if he shows that and he's actually they get another day of practice now this week, right? Yep. If he can show that with this extra day of practice, I think he'll be out there. And I think he should be out there.
And why would you want him at guard and not move Tyler Smith back into guard? Just to reiterate.
Because Tyler Smith at guard struggled. It's not his natural position. You were hoping to fill him into that role while he got some practice, some game reps underneath his belt so that the transition to left tackle would be easier when the time allowed for. But the transition to left tackle, it happened a lot sooner than they ever hoped for. So they slide him out there, and guess what? Oh, he's damn good at it. And he's figuring it out. He's not all the way there yet, but he is a great fill-in for Tyron Smith. And in the whole speculation, what if Tyron Smith comes back? Okay, well, if he does come back, which I don't see happening, but if he does come back, wouldn't you like to have Tyron Smith and Jason Peters on the left side?
That sounds really fun.
Yeah, it sounds nice.
Yeah, that sounds provocative.
Very nice. So without having to move guys around again, so that's my outlook.
Provocative.
So
gets the people going. When we were talking about this scenario early, it was kind of a pipe dream initially because you didn't really know where Tyron was going to come back or Tyler. It was just like the first initial conversation right when the Tyron injury happened. And then they signed Jason Peters. So,
and then lose Connor McGovern.
That was the other part, is Connor McGovern in there too. With Tyler Smith moving out and playing well, that was what we gave as the best case scenario, was that he came out and he balled out in the first couple games without Jason Peters ready to go. And then you were able to just slide him in.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you completely now. At the time, I would have liked to see Jason Peters at tackle because I thought Tyler Smith was going to stay at guard. And then even when he moved at the tackle, I wasn't sure how he was going to play. He came out. He's played really well. One penalty. He's only allowed one sack in 130 snaps played.
Don't start, Rob.
Sorry. His run blocking grade has been phenomenal on Pro Football Focus. I know that's not the be-all, end-all, but he's been a 75 there.
Right.
He's been in the 70s overall, which is tops of especially rookie offensive linemen. He's played really well.
So you're saying you're on the stand-back bandwagon?
I'm on the stand-back bandwagon. Bandwagon.
It's okay. There's room.
Well, here's the thing, though. The variables have changed.
Oh.
The variables have changed.
They have, but I have been steadfast.
You have.
You like that, right? There,
you have been, but the variables have changed.
Kyle's not giving me anything today.
No.
It's okay. It's okay.
I'm on you.
Damn it. Really?
Are you done?
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Okay, wow. Listen.
Keep going, Pat.
Listen. Tiger milk. All right. I am in agreement now with Isaiah simply because the variables have changed. The variables have changed. So especially when you talk about losing Connor McGovern, right? The situation is completely different. Number one, I was always, and you can agree.
You were always.
No. I was always on team don't move Tyler back to guard.
Okay.
Okay. I was on that team. Okay. So that's facts.
All right.
Okay.
Cool.
That's the science on that one. Now, the reason I was kind of hesitant on where to put Peters outside of left tackle because don't move Tyler. I figured Tyler would be good. Admittedly, didn't know he'd be great right off the bat. Shouts out to the rookie. Good Lord. But then it was like, okay, well, McGovern is there. You know, McGovern's not there now. Dealing with a high ankle sprain. They say a couple weeks or so, we'll see how that goes. But he's probably not suiting up for Monday night. If Jason Peters is available and ready, first of all, from a GM perspective, I'm not even making this decision until Friday afternoon, Saturday, maybe. I need to go through all of these practices.
Yep.
I need to see how is Dalton Schultz looking, right? I need to see how is Michael Gallup looking. And the reason I say that specifically, Michael Gallup, because to me that plays into the question of a Sean McEwen. Because if Dalton Schultz is not going to go, on one hand, you could say, you absolutely can't go into a game with only two tight ends. That's kind of dangerous, right? Fair enough. But if Michael Gallup is ready to go, in lieu of Dalton Schultz, Gallup's addition to the active roster then lessens the need for the third tight end because Gallup is going to be getting a lot of that production.
Yeah.
Right? So in that aspect, if Gallup is ready, if Gallup is up but Schultz is down, it's a wash. it brings me right back to Jason Peters. So, again, I'm not making the decision until Saturday, Friday afternoon at the latest. But given all the variables, I'm right there with Isaiah. I'm thinking it's Jason Peters.
So Gallup's already on the active roster, right?
Correct. Yeah.
You don't need to make a spot for him, period. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's really kind of a moot point there, too, is you don't need to activate him or move him up or do any roster move. It's basically tight ends, Jason Peters, maybe somebody else on the roster.
There's one seat left in the bandwagon.
You want to get in, Rob?
I'm not on it.
What?
I'm not on it.
I'm on the bandwagon of Peters and Tyler Smith playing together. I love that idea. I love that idea. But the only thing, I'm torn on it to some extent because you guys are right. Like Tyler Smith, if he's the left tackle of the future and he's showing promise and he's playing pretty well, why would you move him back inside? I just wonder, and I said this, I think when they added Jason Peters, he's 40. He's never played left guard. He's just now getting into football shape. You're asking him to play a new position inside that's probably more physical. I don't know if that means an injury risk necessarily doing that at his age, but he's a left tackle for 20 years. If you're trying to get best five, I'm probably leaning more towards Peters playing his natural left tackle spot. Reluctantly kick Tyler Smith inside to guard. And C said, we'll see on Schultz this week, but you got to elevate Will Greer. You need an eighth healthy offensive lineman active if McGovern's not going to go this week, which No C's right, probably not, although I think he's making progress. So it could be Alec Lindstrom again. Maybe it is Jason Peters again. And I would look at Sean McEwen as insurance for Dalton Schultz this week, too.
All right.
Well, so GM direct deposit?
Huh?
GM direct deposit.
Oh, do you need me to pay you? Listen, am I the owner?
There's no romance without finance, Kyle.
Okay. Okay. Trust me, you do not want to see that paycheck if that's the case. All right, let's go to break. When we come back, we flip it to the defensive side of the football and see what the Cowboys defense can do to slow down Saquon Barkley. Do they get in the backfield? Do they bring the pressure? Or do they do something a little different this week? When we come back with more Talking Cowboys.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
The Cowboys way, where 16 Hall of Famers and 5 championships shows us what success looks like. Where turkey is always the second best part of Thanksgiving Day. Where we are all defined by one single thing, the star. Where we as fans know it's our job to keep the tradition going. Bank of America is proud to be the official bank of the Dallas Cowboys and to support the quest of living life the Cowboys way.
Copyright 2020 Bank of America Corporation.
This week! Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Lil Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper's on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper. Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
Nobody protects you from mayhem like Allstate. I'm a broken traffic light. Stop and go is the name of my game. It's easy. You go, they go. What was it? They go, you go? And if you have the wrong car insurance, these repair costs could stop you in your tracks. So get Allstate's new low auto rate and be better protected from mayhem, like me.
Not available in every state based on coverage and limits selected. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. In most states, prices vary based on how you buy. Allstate Bar and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back to Talkin' Cowboys.
Join former NFL players for our first game day minicamp presented by Invisalign. Drop the kids off at Ford Center on October 2nd from 11:30 to 3:30 while you watch the Dallas Cowboys and Washington Commanders game from your favorite restaurant in the Star District. To register your footballer for camp, visit DallasCowboys.com/academy. Again, that's coming up on October 2nd from 11:30 to 3:30, a little mini camp presented by Invisalign. Oh, and the read we had yesterday, the Star District's Sounds of the Star, featuring country music recording artists, that starts tonight.
Ah.
Yeah.
So noise.
Come up to the Star, have some fun. 7 p.m. is when the high energy show
Texas
starts. Cowboy boots required?
Texas
style. They're not required, but they would be highly encouraged.
Yeah. Highly encouraged.
Yeah. Okay.
You got some boots in yours?
Absolutely.
Make it happen, Captain.
Absolutely, and I have
Make
a hat,
happen.
Too.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a cowboy underneath all this. I don't know if you guys
are. We got to get you deeper into the country music.
We need to get you on in pregame wearing that.
Let's freaking go.
Yeah.
Wear it this
I'm
week.
A rodeo dude.
Are we all going to go full cowboy this week?
I love the rodeo. I love bucking bulls. Like, it's my thing. Like, that's my retirement plan.
Is to be in the rodeo?
To breed bucking bulls.
Oh, to be, okay.
Ah, okay.
That's my thing. Like, during the bye week, like, I'm thinking about going to the PBR finals down there in Vegas.
I knew you took the kids one time, but I didn't know you were super into it.
I love it, man.
Okay.
Any opportunity I get. So anybody got a plug in Vegas, holla at your boy.
You heard
you learn something new about people that you work with for a long time every day. How about that?
I watch the PBR every day. PBR Ride Pass. Every single day I watch.
Wow.
Yeah.
How do you have time for this?
It just happens to be on while I'm at the gym.
Okay. Good to know.
Happens to be on.
Did you see that subtle flex?
You don't 5:30 in the morning, I'm watching PBR Ride Pass.
Subtle gym flex.
You hold the place.
Subtle gym flex, right?
You're like, can we turn this something else? I'm like, talk to ownership.
Just happens to be on while I'm getting my gains.
Yeah, while I'm throwing around the weight. No big deal.
Sweat all right. All over my balls.
Oh, wow. That's
speaking
where
we're going of... Speaking of throwing around the weight, is the answer
Kyle's
for Saquon Barkley I have? Is the answer for Saquon Barkley getting after Daniel Jones, getting in the backfield, and bringing the pressure, bringing the blitz? I'm going to go to Patrick first because Rob is indisposed at the moment and still laughing. So is that the answer? Does Dan Quinn bring extra pressure to try and contain Barkley and honestly force him into being a pass protector?
Hopefully not. Here's what I said yesterday, and I'm going to reiterate it. When it comes to defending the Giants, play them straight up, right? You want to ask your front four or three, if you go three-down man front sometimes, ask your defensive line to win their assignments so that the back seven, the back eight can, you know, drop back cover. And then you have a similar situation from last week versus Joe Mixon. Anthony Barr, you're up again, right? I think Anthony Barr needs to be tasked, and I think he's obviously up to the task of kind of spying Saquon for the most part, playing him sideline to sideline, keeping him at or behind the line of scrimmage as often as possible. There's a danger, an inherent danger, to bringing additional help against Daniel Jones. We're not saying that he's Lamar Jackson or Mike Vick or anything like that, but he is, in fact, much more of a mobile and quarterback who can escape the pocket, more so than Joe Burrow, much more so than Tom Brady. So you have to be careful with that, especially if you're a Cowboys defense that has routinely been exposed by mobile quarterbacks over the past several seasons. Now, granted, you know, only one season plus, if you count these two games, under Dan Quinn. So I think Dan Quinn is much better at scheming for that than a Rob Marinelli or most certainly a Mike Nolan. I could scheme it better than Mike Nolan. But at the end of the day, I think you have to play them straight up, play them honest, make sure you're not extending coverage windows, not asking too much because, and we'll get to this in a little bit, your secondary is better than their receiving core.
Yeah.
So don't help out their receiving core by extending windows and sending additional guys not named Micah Parsons. Unnecessarily, play them straight up, say, hey, we believe we're better than you, prove otherwise.
Yeah, as I watched the film, I don't know if everybody remembers this, or I know you guys do, but the fans out there, who's their head coach?
That's Brian Daboll.
Daboll.
So he's
the Josh Allen creator.
He is, yeah. Mm. So put some respect on him.
Fact.
Right? I don't think that he has the personnel yet that he would like to have in that particular offense. I don't think he has all his goons yet, but he's working with what he has. So while they're figuring that out, while they're going through that until next year's draft and he can get more guys, he is running the most simplified version of Buffalo Bills 2018 until 2021 offense that he can possibly put out there. And it's working for him. And the reads are simple. The schemes are simple. Dallas is going to have to play some disciplined football and tackle, because these guys are not trying to run by you. They're not trying to out-scheme you. They're not trying to run trick plays. These guys are running a lot of crossing routes. They're running a lot of things to mess up your responsibilities if you're not communicating properly. And it's simple for them. A lot of the stuff is the same scheme, different formation, and they're most likely not going to make a lot of mental errors. So they're relying on what they're doing to cause you to have some mental errors, which would give them the advantage. So as long as Dallas plays some disciplined defense, I think that they will be okay, because our personnel is better than their personnel.
Correct.
We just can't give them opportunities via mistakes.
When we were watching the film yesterday, you even said it. You were like, these guys run more crossing routes than anybody I've ever seen. Is that still stand true?
They're 5 and 6 yards deep.
And it's just... It's just muddying up the waters.
You have to communicate. You got to talk. These guys are running man beaters, but their man beaters can sit in zones. So you have to communicate very well. And they're not tripping. They're like, we'll go in this little bunch set. Uh-huh. We'll go in this condensed set. We'll work the dog on sidelines. We give ourselves as much space as possible. They're not starting wide and trying to run in. They're starting close and running out and running across. So Dallas is going to have to work a whole heck of a lot with the sound out here on the field, and they got to work out there communicating, saying, hey, we got crosser, 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 sit. They want to dink and dunk you, and they are perfectly fine working their way down the field. Oh, and then they'll give it to that dude back there that the first guy doesn't get to make the tackle, he'll make you pay. So respect the offensive coordinator. Don't necessarily have to respect Danny Dimes and Saquon. I think you can handle those guys, but respect who's calling the plays for those guys.
How easy does that make it on a quarterback? If there is some convolution at the second level and it's confusion and there's all this going on, it's throwing the football,
easy.
Right?
It's easy. They're maybe running. If you're going, most offenses are going into a game plan with at least 150 plays. So you're going into these schemes and into these game plans with 150 plays, and you'll run those 150 plays out of a bunch of different formations, a bunch of different personnel groupings. I would say those guys maybe have 75 plays, and they just run them. We're running out of 5 wides. We're running out of 4 wides. We're running out of 2 tights. We're running out of this motion, out of this. And it looks different. It's so simple, but it looks different to the defense. So Dan Quinn obviously has faced this before. He's going to have to make sure that these guys understand that, hey, don't complicate things. This is not anything different than what you've seen,
right?
But your responsibilities are the same. So don't confuse yourself and don't get stressed out.
And credit to this defense. They've been tackling exceptionally well thus far in 2022. You know, you look at a guy like Donovan Wilson, for example, easily one of the best tacklers on the team. If he keeps this up, I could say he'll be one of the best tacklers in the league. Plays well in space, reads, reacts, identifies, and he drives through his tackles, and he typically lays the wood when he does so. Don't go there. But, you know, this LVE, he's playing at the moment Pro Bowl version of LVE. You look at, obviously, Micah Parsons is doing Micah Parsons things, but there are a lot of unsung heroes on this Cowboys defense when it comes to the discussion of tackling and not missing tackles that were routinely being missed in the pre-Dan Quinn era. So great point by Isaiah. When you have so much traffic coming across across the middle and those slants and those start in and go out, you got to make sure that you get your guy down. They're going to get 4 or 5 yards here and there. They're going to get 4 or 5 yards. But make sure that 4-yard catch doesn't turn into a 19-yard catch. Make sure that 3-yard catch doesn't turn into a third down conversion on third and 11, something like that. You contain that long enough. There's your bend but don't break. That's where your clamps can come in as they get closer to the end zone.
Yeah, piggyback on what Nosy said. Dan Quinn's very happy right now with their tackling. That's very sound right now. I think Anthony Barr has had a big part of that. LVE has played very well so far. Their communication is usually on point. You know, I think he is big on talking in practice, and you see that at training camp. It's majorly emphasized. It would be nice to have Jayron Kearse in this game for that reason. But, you know, Malik Hooker did a nice job with the green dot and handling that pre-snap communication and post-snap as well. So, we'll see. I mean, the Giants have had trouble moving the football and scoring points. And, you know, the one thing the Cowboys defense has not done so far is get takeaways. And I just went back and looked at I'm doing this on the fly here, but Daniel Jones, I believe, has 7 career turnovers against the Cowboys.
Oh, he's got some Eli in him.
Yeah, in terms of interceptions, lost fumbles, And the Cowboys are due to get on track here with takeaways. I mean, they're tied for the second fewest. They've only got one. They should have had one last week. But this might be an opportunity. That's the one piece missing for them to really vault into, wow, this defense is
something. You can't even spell Daniel without Eli. So he'll give the ball away. He'll give the ball away. He'll give you opportunities to make plays. You just have to make those plays, to Rob's point.
Well, maybe that's the week. This is the week to get back on track with those turnovers. And when we come back, I want to talk about that. If the turnovers don't come, let's say they don't get back on track, do they still have enough to slow down Daniel Jones and to give their offense an opportunity, multiple opportunities, to go and win the football game? When we come back with more Talking Cowboys.
Little Sweet!
Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Little Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper is on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper. Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
The Medal of Honor is our country's highest military award for valor in combat. More than 40 million individuals have served in the armed forces since the Civil War. Fewer than 4,000 have received the Medal of Honor. The National Medal of Honor Museum will be a place to preserve these legacies and inspire America. It's being built right next door to the Dallas Cowboys in Texas. Help us honor our country's greatest heroes. Learn more and get involved at mohmuseum.org.
The Cowboys Way. Where 16 Hall of Famers and 5 championships shows us what success looks like. Where turkey is always the second best part of Thanksgiving Day. Where we are all defined by one single thing, the star. Where we as fans know it's our job to keep the tradition going. Bank of America is proud to be the official bank of the Dallas Cowboys and to support the quest of living life the Cowboys way.
Copyright 2020, Bank of America Corporation.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Back to Talking Cowboys.
Whether you're watching from home or you're cheering in the stands with Essilor lenses, you can see every exciting play. Book an appointment at your local Essilor experts and see what Essilor can do for you. See more, do more. Essilor on Talking Cowboys. The mic toss is back. We're back on track with our Essilor reads.
Mic toss yesterday too.
We did.
Yeah. How about that?
Yeah. On my way up from the floor.
Yeah,
it's on there.
I
was just talking to Rob P.
Yeah,
and I know a lot of people are really excited about Dallas's offense, and you know the weapons are coming back, and you know everybody likes to you know use a baby wipe to rain on a parade of Danny Dimes and the Giants. But you know I give every team respect. It's the NFL. I give every team respect.
As you should.
The Dallas Cowboys have scored how many points this year?
23
points. Mm-hmm. How many points have the New York Giants scored this year? As much as they're struggling.
23?
40.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's 20 a game. It's not.
They had 21.
Dallas had three with Dak.
Had a 21-20 win over Tennessee, which is a really, it's a good Tennessee ball club, but they are 0-2.
They're struggling, yeah.
And then you beat the Panthers 19-16, and the Panthers are not very good.
And the Panthers had the lead on them for a good chunk.
Totally different opponents. I get it. Right. And you can never equal it up and say, okay, this team is the same as good as this team because you're just different matchups, okay? But the reality is, right, the science is it's 20 points for Dallas. 40 points or 43 points for New York. So I say that to say as confident as you should be in your personnel. Again, I'm going to lean on who is calling the plays for them. He's going to try to find a way. He's going to find a way to score some points, even as good as this Dallas defense is. The question remains, can Dallas put up the points?
No. Right?
And I know we'll get to that tomorrow, but like, you're going to have to outscore these guys. Even if you hold them to three touchdowns, you're going to have to outscore these guys.
You're giving them three?
You're going to have to outscore these guys.
We'll get to that tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll get to that tomorrow because, I mean, because the reality is, how many points has Dallas given up? Dallas has given up 36 points this year. Right? We've given up 36 points.
How many touchdowns? One touchdown each game.
Yeah. One touchdown per.
It's 36 points.
But do you think Daniel Jones is better? And Daniel Jones' offense, even under Brian Daboll, is better than Joe Burrow and Tom Brady?
I don't look at things like that. Because the reason why.
But you have
because,
to.
No, you don't. Because your team, when you face me, might be totally different than when you face Kyle Seymour, Ross Pete, and team, right?
That's true.
Personnel differences, scheme differences, right? There's things within each person's system, whether it's personnel or scheme, that's going to expose you, right? So the same thing that's your weak point when you face me might not be the same when you face somebody else. So I never look at it that way. I look at the NFL as a week-to-week basis.
But
I know a lot of people look at it as, oh, they beat this team, they beat it. It doesn't matter. That's why playoffs are playoffs, because you might beat up. Who just would beat up on the Rams? Freaking Buffalo.
Yeah.
Buffalo beat up on the Rams. But if freaking, I don't even know, whoever plays the Rams, they might get beat up. Right? So, I mean, it just depends on who you are and how you're facing that team. So I don't look at things that way. But all I'm saying is people better put some respect on Brian Daboll and understand that he is a freaking smart, one of the best offensive minds in this game of the last 5 years.
Yeah, and I wasn't trying to do that because I think Mike Kafka, they're doing a good job, and what they're talking about up there is that there's more motion in the offense, more than what Jason Garrett had. It's a little more creative. I'm just saying, I feel like this game is going to be kind of similar to the first two games we've seen because I feel like the Cowboys defense can do enough to keep it close and keep it low scoring. Because I think both teams are in a situation right now where they're struggling to sustain drives and get points. They've gotten a lot of field goals from Graham Gano. He's kind of been their MVP so far. I think Daniel Jones can make plays. And I liked how they stuck with the run in the second half. It was kind of like Dallas. It was kind of like, look, we're struggling offensively, but we're not going to get away from the run. And they kept going with Saquon Barkley, and I think that kind of helped them out last week. But I do think this kind of has another feel of first team to 20, first team to 21, 23 points, something like that, because I think both defenses are the strength of each other's team.
And here's where I land on it, right? Based on what you just said, how you play this team is not how you're going to play my team. That's absolutely correct. But that means you also kind of made my point because, they've scored 40. They have, three touchdowns, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But they've not played Micah Parsons yet. They've not played a defense of this magnitude yet. I've credited Brian Daboll as much as anyone has. I've actually defended the playmaking ability of Daniel Jones, which is equally true. He will throw the ball away. He will fumble.
He's a better quarterback than he was in 2019, 2020.
Correct.
He is.
That said, this personnel set, defense from the Cowboys versus offense for the Giants, the offense has offensive line problems. Right, they don't have the playmakers. Kenny Golladay is smelling like Roy Williams, the receiver in the Cowboys uniform. He's easily the biggest bust of the most recent free agent.
He's not playing.
Kadarius Toney, zero receiving yards. We know what Toney did to Dallas, right? But zero receiving yards. He was in the doghouse with the previous regime, Joe Judge, and now Brian Daboll isn't even thinking about Kadarius Toney. But that said, keep an eye on him because that could be a trick in the bag, right? Careful. But I say all that to say, the Giants, they're 2-0. They demand respect. 100% agree. Because at this level, everybody commands it. However, at the end of the day, the respect will only take you so far when you have a Micah Parsons, when you have a Trevon Diggs, Malik Hooker, Donovan Wilson, and coordinating all of this, Anthony Barr, LVE's, I mean, the list goes on and on, and then coordinating all of this. Coordinate. You got to coordinate.
Yeah.
Coordinating all of this is Dan freaking Quinn.
I agree.
I take Quinn over Daboll every day of the week.
Completely agree. Tennessee doesn't have the defense Dallas does. Panthers don't have the defense Dallas does. 40 points isn't even that great against those two defenses combined.
I hear you.
It's
guys.
Really not that great. Listen here.
You struggled
against
the Panthers.
I'm not doubting Daboll. I'm not doubting his play calling ability. But you said it yourself. They don't have his guys yet. And they pure and simple don't. I don't care who's on the other side of the football right now. The Dallas Cowboys, even with a backup quarterback, should beat this team by 20. They're still not very good.
Wow,
this team is not very good.
I'm not going that far. They're 2-0.
No. I understand, but you just beat the freaking AFC reigning champions.
Say it with your chest, Kyle.
You just beat you gave Tom Brady an opportunity on his offensive side of the football to give you the game. Your offense didn't pick it up.
Get him.
The defense was good enough to win that game against Tampa Bay. Your offense didn't play well enough. Your offense can score on this New York Giants defense. Even as bad as they've been, you can still win this game by multiple touchdowns.
Science.
I don't care who you guys are saying are on the other side of the football. It's not the same. This isn't Tampa Bay. This isn't Cincinnati. This is the New York Giants.
Personnel and execution. The orchestrator of it all, the maestro, Brian Daboll, could be a genius. We've seen it happen with Belichick. Belichick is arguably and sometimes inarguably the best coach ever, right? And he struggles when his players and his personnel and his execution on the field don't marry, okay? It happens. It doesn't matter who's on the sideline when the execution is failing. All that's going to happen is that very talented mind in Brian Daboll, as talented as it is, he's going to be frustrated, red in the face, yelling at guys like, what's going on? This is a Cowboys defense that can fluster, frustrate, dishearten, and just outright defeat and take the heart. You saw Joe Burrow, who to me is a better quarterback than Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones has more escapability, but Joe Burrow is the better quarterback.
Yep.
Early in the first quarter, Joe Burrow looked like he was ready to take his helmet off and just go to week three. Absolutely. Like, it just wasn't working out well for
him. 13 got times in two games, I would too.
Right, but Daniel Jones' offensive line isn't fantastic.
He got sacked 13 either. Times.
Escapability.
Not yet.
It's escapability. Scheme. That's what I'm trying to help you guys understand. They're not going to sit back.
No.
All I'm saying is,
I've said, great.
Let me say behind my statements. I know we got to get off the air. I'm saying the personnel-wise, Dallas is far and above.
Far better.
I'm saying Dan Quinn, and nobody's going to stand on the table more for Dan Quinn than me. I was stood on the table when his name was brought up before he was even hired. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, go back to the old Talking Cowboys, right? So understand, I'm just speaking on the reality. The reality is they got to show up and do it.
Fair.
And I'm not going to say that they're going to sit up here and blow this team out. Because I've seen it.
Yeah, I have freaking seen it.
If you overlook a team like this, you will get slapped in your face. Oh, and by the way, it's a rivalry game.
I was going to say, first and foremost, it's an NFC East game.
You know what I'm saying? I haven't seen enough.
So first and foremost,
it's Cowboys offense to say they're going to blow anybody out.
Thank you.
Right now.
See, but that's not the prediction. That's what they should do.
Right.
That's what should happen.
Should they?
Heck yes. They should hold Daniel Jones to under 10 points and blow this team out of the water.
I'm saying
under 10. Yes.
Okay.
They should blow this team out of the water. Will they?
I was on this side of the
different
table
question.
Until
you have to show it. Dallas has not shown this year. This year, 2022, Dallas has not shown the ability to blow anybody out the water offensively.
That's the only.
Defensively, they're never getting off.
Defensively, they should hold Daniel Jones.
That's what I'm talking. I'm not talking about the offense. I said the offense has had troubles earlier in my rant.
You held freaking Tampa Bay to 5 field goals in the first 5 possessions.
Right. Exactly.
And then what?
So. I'm with Kyle on this point in that this Cowboys defense
This isn't Tampa Bay. This is New York.
This Cowboys defense can and should hold Daniel Jones and that Giants offense to 10 points or less. But in that, and the Cowboys should win this game. But because of the question marks on offense, and we'll see if Michael Gallup is back, I think that's going to be a huge factor as well as far as how prolific or not the Cowboys offense is. I'm not going to give the prediction, but I don't see it being a blowout until the offense shows me more. But easily should be a victory.
Rock fight.
If you lose this game, are you frustrated as Cowboys?
You
Nation?
Should be.
Absolutely.
Should be. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, more so than if you would have lost to the Bengals.
But all you guys
and we
points,
talked about that.
But to all you guys' points, you held freaking TB12, the best quarterback to ever play this game, to 5 freaking field goals. You want to talk about stopping somebody and frustrating somebody, and it still wasn't enough with your number one quarterback.
Oh, I know.
So don't overlook a team that are scoring more points than you're scoring.
You know why it wasn't enough with the number one?
You know what I'm saying? Regardless of who they played today.
But you know why it wasn't enough? Execution.
Oh, my gosh. What's your number one?
What? If the Cowboys
with your number one. Execution if, with your number one.
But that permeates every team. That's what I'm saying. The Cowboys aren't the only team that may not execute on any given Sunday.
3
points. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
This is against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This wasn't against the Tennessee Titans and the and Carolina.
Look what it took. Panthers. Look how many mistakes and execution issues it took for the Cowboys defense to lose.
Where did Tennessee go last year?
In that fashion.
They went to the first round.
Yeah, the top seed.
Yeah, they were the top seed, but they lost.
Yeah, they also had A.J. Brown.
Okay, just like
that. Different team.
Either the A.J. Brown that's doing like some Dallas? Doing some good things in Philly. Okay. Yeah, this is not the same Tennessee Titans team. And struggled to score against the Panthers team.
I'm just saying it's just like Dallas.
And struggled to stop Baker Mayfield.
I'm
just saying don't make Dallas seem like they're just that much better than everybody right now.
No, I know. That's all I'm saying. I think it could be very well like this game.
I think the defense is. The defense
I understand hope.
Offense.
Hope.
Maybe not.
Hope. You say a lot of comments off of hope. But when you go to the facts, we haven't shown enough offensively.
Agreed. Right. And
that's all I'm saying.
You defense, and I are on the same page.
Yeah, I believe
We got to go. We got to get out of here.
Defenses.
I think we're kind of saying the same thing.
The defense is dominant. You went out on a limb.
Listen, I did go out on a limb because I think this defense is good enough to lead you to a blowout win. It could happen.
This is a Super Bowl caliber defense, period. This is a Super Bowl caliber defense.
Let me talk.
That's a fact.
They are way better on the defensive side of the football than anybody else in this division.
Agreed.
Anybody else.
Agreed.
They are really, really good defensively. They're going to win you football games. They forced 6 turnovers against this Giants team last year, and that still wasn't enough.
Everybody's entitled to a bad game. What happens when that happens?
Then you lose. And we're going to talk about it on Monday regardless. But tomorrow we're going to talk about the Cowboys offense and how they can get off the ground in order to make that happen. Because this should be a win for the Cowboys no matter what you spin, should say it, how it's going to end up. It's going to end up that way. For Chris Beam, Rob Phillips, Isaiah Stanback, Barry Church. Going back to pregame live. Patrick Walker. I'm Kyle Rillmans. We'll see you tomorrow here on Talking Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company.
Isaiah, get some sleeves.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!